All right, y'all. It's March 20th. This is another call, Remedy support group call. I guess this is the fourth one that we've done so far. We've been going over abatements the last couple of weeks and trying to get be more educated in that area, exactly what it is, et cetera. We're only going to have Chaplain Raymond on here for a few minutes. We don't want to keep him tied up. I know he's real tired. He's got a lot of stuff going on. So he was going to try to explain something to us here just briefly. So let's try to keep that, any questions that we do have for him, to a minimum. All right, Chaplain Raymond, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Are there anybody on this call that is domiciled in the District of Columbia?
No.
Maybe you should ask the other way around.
You mean they've all done all their papers and are domiciled in Texas?
Yes.
There's someone that's new tonight. I heard him say this was his first time.
That was Kevin Smith. He is domiciled here in Texas.
Right. Because this is very dangerous information for anyone that is not domiciled on the land. What I wanted to do was to, if you all have the set of instructions that we use for the abatement, it's a PDF called Abatement Common Law Procedures.
This was sent a couple weeks ago in an email that we sent out, and it had four attachments.
Yes. Have they finished memorizing the first 11 pages?
They haven't recited it yet, but we might just have to take their word.
Oh, dear. The first 11 pages is necessary to comprehend the environment that you are in. Without the mastery of those pages, you're jumping into a pot that you don't recognize, that you don't understand. It turns out that the court that we have all been exposed to and lived under, and we refer to as commercial courts, are really using the UCC to affect compelled performance through the use of contracts, but they are correctly called emergency power courts. These emergency power courts come into existence under international law. So when you are dealing with the other courts in the de facto, you're dealing in an emergency court under international law. In addition, the international law was allowed to make use of a thing called military or martial rule. Now, that's not the military ruling you. It's the rules of the court. Okay? It isn't martial law. It is martial rule. And let me just say one thing about that, I just saw it. Excuse me while I... What it does is it puts the martial rule allows them to use expediency. All right, here it is. today, by necessity, field officers, judges, highway patrol, state troopers, sheriffs, etc., exercise powers of life and death to maintain authority given to them by international law that prohibits, repeating, prohibits lawful civil authority or constitutional mandates because such procedures are too timely and clumsy for military, quasi-military operations, constitutional and common law precedents are too restrictive of federal, state, county, borough, and city powers. So it is because of the emergency. The premise being, this is very temporary, folks. They get this emergency power to take care of the emergency, and they're supposed to do it as rapidly as possible and get it over with. And then it's all over, and then you're back to your lawful civil authority. Now, in this international law, they are prohibited from using anyone's real name, including the name of the state. Where they're precluded from using the real name of the people. Because if there's a court case in this temporary emergency period of time, that emergency period will end and it'll go away. It will be non-existent. And by using your real name while they're there, you're liable to get caught up in something that'll affect it for the rest of your life on the record. So the use of not being able to use your lawful name is to enable them to distinguish proceedings that are taking place in this emergency power court, where the rules, the lawful civil authority is not present. That's why you must learn the first 11 pages of this document. So you understand what it is you're using the abatement for. Okay? Second thought. This is the first 11, well, first 10 and a half pages in that document. Now the really toughy one. Everybody thinks they've learned about the rules for making appearance and what you do and what you say when you stand up in court, and what you have to do to prevent them getting jurisdictions. These emergency power courts exercise using a doctrine called, quote, benefit of discussion. That gives a court jurisdiction as soon as you answer any question or if you demand any response or action from the court. Therefore, learning to deal with this emergency power court from the de facto, the de jure on the land lawful system where we live, those of us who are domiciled in Texas, it is a touchy subject of how you deal with them, where you touch them, what you say, and how it happens. Their rules permit the abatement. Otherwise, we would have zero remedy. If, in fact, there was zero remedy, then there would be no law. So they have to allow that one remedy. But it must occur before any jurisdiction is obtained of any kind. So the only way you can talk to them is through an abatement, which is the type we present here, which is a court order from a superior court. Because you cannot discuss things. You can't do petition, answer, petition, answer, petition, answer. That's a discussion. So if they get the benefit of discussion, they're in charge and they write the rules. It's imperative that you master this understanding. You'll find that in this understanding, you'll see why certain things are spoken of in this patriot community, so to speak, that are rules that descend from piecemeal knowledge of this. But when you get in there, the hope is because arrest warrants and procedures do not conform to constitutional law because they don't have to if a defendant appears in person or by special appearance paperwork. Okay? So, they don't have to be constitutional or proper according to the lawful world of due process. So, if you appear, you got to take what you get. So, you must learn not. You must learn how to stand aside. And my mentor called it step aside. You have the right to your own defense. And one thing's in your defense is you have the right to step aside, not attack. So please, when you look at the features of the abatement that will be used to ask, remember, the abatement is not a challenge to the court's jurisdiction. They are merely a good faith attempt to correct errors in the process. You must not look at them as the answer. They are not a challenge to the court's jurisdiction. If they were, under the benefit of discussion, they would have the jurisdiction in these emergency power courts. Any questions?
So, Chaplain Raymond.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, yeah. This is Brian. Chaplain Raymond, I was wondering if after we do the abatement and we go through the default judgment, can we then go after them for... deprivation of color of rights under color of law?
They have the emergency power under international law.
Does that mean no, we can't go after them?
I just explained to you. Let me read it again. Arrest warrants and procedures do not conform to constitutional law because they don't have to.
Okay.
What are you accusing him of? What are you going to accuse him of?
Nothing. There's nothing I can accuse him of because they don't have to conform to constitutional.
Exactly. All right.
Okay.
It's the emergency that they're taking care of. In the emergency powers court, and under international law, they expect the emergency to end. The premise is emergencies have beginnings and ends. But
so by acknowledging them in any way, that gives them jurisdiction?
That's correct. They have the benefit of discussion. All you have to do is say, let's talk.
That's like pulling up our mailbox so we won't get mail anymore.
I don't know. I don't know if that's an analogy or not.
Okay.
But they have, look, what is a license?
Permission
to do something that's otherwise illegal in their eyes.
The international law community has given governments this license to handle emergencies. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow that?
Yes.
So you're not out there in a contest. You're out there in a defense. Now, they must allow you to challenge the court's jurisdiction. It's not challenge the court's jurisdiction, but tell them that you're exercising a good faith attempt to correct the errors in the process. What is the errors?
Those listings in the abatement, the different errors, or the whether it's the name, whether it's the
deficiencies, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you must understand that that is your lawful remedy, not attack.
Oh, we're giving them a good faith effort to correct their paperwork without dishonor.
That's correct. Now, because the next statement, arrest warrants and procedures do not conform, because they don't have to, they have a real dilemma on their hands. The real irony is that the federal government, in cooperation with the states, that's the political subdivisions, have created emergency power courts to expand their power and increase revenue. But by doing so, they have become vulnerable to lawful process. Now, they've done their best to control the education, dumb us down, keep us from knowing how to do that. Furthermore, there is very little that they can do about it now without coming directly into conflict with the international law. This is why the United States government will never pull out of the United Nations. Nations, because the United Nations is the source of authority for the United States to protect itself under international law. The point is, if one who brings a properly written lawful process against unlawful process, he or she will prevail.
Got a question. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
I just was in a court case and took in the UCC under certified papers from the Secretary of State, and it was in a district court, and the judge just disallowed everything. What can you do about that when it says that they're not supposed to adjudicate against the UCC, but they just don't pay no attention to it?
You got to go ask them. That's inside their jurisdiction where we never trod.
Could they make the rules as they go along in their courts, I'm thinking?
Yeah. If you really master the first 11 pages, okay? Really do so. In other words, the question that was just asked says, well, if you're in their court, how can I get them to follow our laws? It's an emergency power court. They have a license from the international community to not follow the real laws of the land. Okay?
Chaplain, when you talk about the first 11 pages, are you talking about the 30-page common law procedure file?
Yes, that's what he's talking about.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So our remedy is to not go into their venue, but to serve them with the common law abatement process and be done with them after the default judgment.
Yes, because their processes are unlawful. Now, remember, your abatement is more than an abatement.
It's a superior order from a superior court.
Exactly. But the only thing it fits is the abatement that they permit in their rules. Okay?
Yes, they have to acknowledge that.
So you called a plea for abatement, which is something they accept. But you've given the rules and your order. Now remember, we're using one of their rules in our order. It says, anything that's not written as part of the judgment shall be deemed to be in order. And this is from the judge. You who are writing this document, which you're calling a plea for abatement, and I suggest we start calling it that instead of calling it an abatement.
Oh, a plea for abatement. Okay.
Isn't that what it says at the beginning, Chuck?
I'm looking right now.
It says plea in abatement. Yeah. Plea in abatement, page 12.
Okay.
Okay, it's a plea in abatement. Okay? It's the plea that makes it without dishonor. The abatement says, you know, I'm telling you have to stop because there's errors. Now, do you see that the order is from a judge in a superior court? Now, there's a whole bunch of background you have to learn to be able to say, well, how comes I can be a judge? And if anybody tries to pin you down, you're best not trying to answer it. You just say it's absolute authority, which can't be established. What's that?
It's because we the people have that authority. We are the first estate.
Well, there's a whole bunch of background information that proves why they're in emergency courts. And in an emergency court, has unlawful process. Now, what about the Constitution of the United States of America and all this? Basically, without lawful process or authority, the Constitution is a dead letter, a facade that is manipulated at the federal government's whim because lawful process itself is based upon the Constitution, and thus the process is interdependent. Okay? It says here, arrest warrants with a signature of a judge, black ink, that is supported with proper affidavits and court seals, are lawful processes. They cannot be used within emergency power courts.
So you're saying they cannot issue arrest warrants under the emergency power courts?
I said arrest warrants with a judge's signature supported by an affidavit and court sealed are lawful processes. They cannot be used within the emergency powers courts. This is why you've got to study this. It's not an either or. Of course they issue arrest warrants, but what are they? What did we say the arrest warrants were a while ago?
Unlawful.
Arrest warrants and procedures do not conform to constitutional law because they don't have to.
Right.
Now, what I read down here. Arrest warrants with a signature of a judge, black ink, supported by proper affidavits and court seals, are lawful processes, and they cannot be used within emergency power courts. They would be creating paper that looks like lawful process that was used under a license in the emergency powers that where you were doing, they're treating you differently, which really shouldn't go against your lawful record. And so, to me, it says everything that takes place in that emergency power court stays there. It's like Vegas. And when the emergency is over, it's gone. Can somebody tell me what I just said so I can gain an understanding of what you're understanding?
Could you repeat that, Chapman?
I'm saying, let's just take the arrest warrants feature by itself. Arrest warrants and procedures do not conform to constitutional law because they don't have to in an emergency power court. Okay?
Right.
Now, arrest warrants with a signature of a judge supported by a proper affidavit and court seals are lawful processes. They cannot be used in emergency power courts. Okay? That's why they can't use your real name. The whole emergency power court is an alter ego.
Oh, it's them attacking our straw man.
Huh?
It's them attacking our straw man, not us, but they're trying to get us to...
Don't use the word straw man. Don't use the word straw man.
Oh. Sorry.
Let's use nom de guerre.
Oh, okay. The all-cap name, right?
Yep.
Yes.
War powers.
Yeah.
Okay. The fictitious entity.
No.
No.
Oh, no. Okay. No. Now.
You're wanting to fight it in their arena.
Oh, that's the statutory term. What I've been saying.
It is emergency power court. Hello.
We hear you.
I'm coming out somebody's speaker.
I think they just muted.
Okay. Let's try again. This is very important that you get. That's why this first 11 pages is so important. You're going to bring all the stuff you've learned in the past, and it's not going to do you any good. You've just violated the benefit of discussion.
Sorry.
Okay. You must remain silent. That's why in your abatement it says, and after you've written the order, it says, I shall now remain silent. That's so that you don't give them the benefit of discussion. It's an emergency power court. They have a license to use unlawful procedures because of the emergency, but it's because the emergency is supposed to be short-lived. It's a special international concession, and so in order to not confuse the issue, the procedures they are required to follow are two primary ones. You are not allowed, international law requires that neither party to a case, the state and the person, can appear in their own name. Now, do you want to hear that again?
Yes.
The international law that these emergency power courts are operating under requires that neither party to a case, the state and the person, can appear in their own name. Therefore, they use the nom de guerre, a war name. It's a carryover from the old Roman Empire. When they decided they'd capture something, they didn't want to destroy the domestic system. That was a whole new thing. Instead of rape and pillage and plunder, it was try to keep it as intact as possible so we can benefit economically. But that meant the domestic system had to function sort of in parallel to the conquering system. In order to distinguish which one the paper was from, they said, well, don't use the name that's used in the domestic system. You can only use a special new name for the purposes of this emergency. And therefore, they are forbidden, prohibited from using your real name. They must use a nom de guerre. Isn't that interesting?
Understood.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So it's black as white and white as black. They don't want the two systems commingled. That which is lawful on the land is not lawful in process in the emergency power court. So when you walk up to the emergency power court, nothing that you have on the land is available to you. And because they've taken and used the convenience of martial rule, military rule in this nature, you had a thing called benefits of discussion. That gives a court jurisdiction as soon as a demandant answers, whether it's a special appearance or not. So an abatement is a very special kind of answer. It's very unique, and they had to leave it in order to offer the remedy for the situation in which they were making an error. And that's all it is.
Hey, Chapman?
Yep.
This is Lynn. After you've sent your abatement in, and if they put out a warrant for you and arrest you, what happens then? What's your next step?
I guess you go to jail.
That's happened. But
you gotta go to 30s. The city and the states are just as ignorant as we are. They don't know this.
I understand that, but how do I defend myself, or what do I do against them after they've have kidnapped me and taken me to jail? What deprived do I have?
You mean lawful?
Yes.
I don't know.
So I just, if they take me to jail, then I just forget about it. They break the law.
They are breaking the law, yes.
Yeah. So how do we come against them on that?
We get to be bigger, more people, our own government.
We get the power, and then we can spank them.
Yep, not spank them.
Correct them.
No.
No. Remember, they have a permit to do what they're doing. It's like you having a driver's license. Emergency power courts. Now, the what thing to do, excuse me.
My question is about the emergency power courts, and this may be an answer in itself, is what, when do they cease to exist? When the, I understand when the emergency is over, so what is the definition of the emergency? Whatever they deem?
Who is they?
Well, whoever's in charge of the emergency power courts.
The emergency power court is the court. The emergency comes from whom? In our case.
In our case, it would be the de facto government.
The what? The Congress?
That it come from us?
Congress?
Executive order from the president.
Who?
President.
President?
How can he declare an emergency?
Executive order.
We the people.
Declare. No.
No?
And the emergency was basically declared in 1932 and 33.
I was just going to say that.
With a bankruptcy.
Declared by Congress.
There, you finally got it. They went to the international
set aside
community.
It is null and void.
They what?
That the emergency set the Constitution aside. It is null and void for their purposes.
They didn't set it aside.
Well, no, it was suspended. Sorry, suspended.
I have a question. This is Sherilyn. From what I understand, on the 16th of this month, that Obama signed a martial law peacetime order. How does that affect all of this?
I don't think it matters. I think it's all media hype and managing of perceptions, because the emergency powers court already has that power. The Supreme Court and all, they've already made decisions where they were not judging the constitutionality of what they were doing. Let's address the 16th when I hear you. I cannot address its authority until you give me the number of it. What is the number of it? What's the executive order number?
Does anybody know that, or can anybody Google that right now?
I know where to go to find it. Because I sent it out. Oh, I'm there.
Because I need to look it up in the Federal Register.
Anybody else a faster typer than Rick?
Now my computer's locking up. I'm clicking, not typing. Even though I do NPEC.
Would that be the executive order where he declared all people in America enemy of the state?
No.
Okay.
No, this was just the other day, Friday.
I'm looking at the email, but there's no SB number in it. I'm trying to pull it up.
There's what?
If you go to whitehouse.gov.
Farm Wars. I'm going to Farm Wars. They had it.
They what? March 16, 2012.
If you go to whitehouse.gov and then type in executive orders in the search, you can find all the executive orders.
Okay, this was March 16th, so... This press release does not give the number of the executive order.
Really?
It just says it, but and let's see.
You mean it's an opinion?
There's no number.
No, this is for the White House. Following is submitted. Okay, the White House Office of the Press Secretary for immediate release. Executive order, National Defense Resources Preparedness.
And there's no
executive
number.
Order. But it doesn't give a number.
And formulation.
They did in December 2nd.
December 2nd was the last one with a number.
From what I heard, that was just an amendment to that, added to it.
It would say so.
That may be why it doesn't have another number.
It would say so.
It says that the order expands upon a prior order that was issued in 1950 for disaster preparedness. It doesn't give a number on here.
I know. You can't track. Notice. I think it's designed to make you guys all excited and kerfuffle and violate the benefit of discussion clause.
Okay, so it's the authority of the president conferred by Section 101 of the Act 50 U.S.C. App 2071?
No, I didn't even hear any of that.
So
I was not listening. I was trying to communicate. Are you trying to enter into a discussion about this?
I was trying to provide information that was being asked for.
And you want to discuss it?
Well, there was a question what number executive order it was that gave all the powers
but
to control all these resources. Hmm?
Trying to aim it where the heads ought to be.
Yeah.
Does anybody get it?
I get it. That was a rhetorical question, and we don't want to discuss it because whatever Obama puts out is not applicable to us sovereigns on the dry land, only U.S. citizens, of which we are not.
And if you grant the benefit of discussion, do they not have jurisdiction?
Yep.
It may be totally invalid because it doesn't have a number. They would reference an old number.
So basically all it is a press release.
Looks like that to me. And it's generating all kinds of discussion. That makes it sound like they still have an emergency out there.
I have a question, Chaplain Raymond.
See it? Yes.
I understand what you explained so wonderfully well about how this is broken down and how we don't enter into the benefit of the discussion or we're going to hook ourselves back under their jurisdiction. But why is there a continual state of emergency? How do they get by with something like that? Emergency is just temporary. So how do they get a perpetual emergency, and can that emergency be ended?
I don't know. You know international law? You got to study the international law. Who's willing? I'm looking for a volunteer.
I volunteer Brian.
No, let's unvolunteer Brian. But I got a quick stop. the 1861 martial law rule has never been ended. We're still under martial law. That's why they can do this emergency power stuff.
No.
No.
Martial law rule was domestic martial law. That was Lincoln's. We're talking about international emergency power courts. Emergency power courts under international law. Okay. And it's martial rule. It's not martial law. Martial rule procedures grant this license to not follow the full procedures. It's in the interest of getting through, you know, your regular due process procedures are restrictive in emergencies. You not aware of that? They keep you from getting to the end of the emergency. So that's why they have the license to ignore them, so they can end the emergency quicker.
Chaplain, excuse the interruption, but someone is breathing in the mic and it's making it really hard to hear you.
Hello?
It's Gina. Someone is breathing in a mic and it's making it hard to hear you, Chaplain.
I just muted out Doria. All right.
Is this beginning to sink in?
Yes,
it
very
works
well.
It works when you understand it. You stand on your side of the wall and don't throw anything over on the other side. And you put earplugs in your ears so you don't hear when they're trying to get your attention to get you into a discussion. You use a special kind of abatement, which they permit, and you call it a plea and abatement, but it's actually an order to them to comply with the lawful due process.
Nobody we know.
Hello?
We're hearing you loud and clear.
Yep.
Be reminded, emergency power courts have no lawful process because they have no lawful authority. It's recognized, folks. All process by such courts is therefore defective, because the courts are forbidden to use lawful process. Don't expect it. Don't accuse them of not using lawful process, because they can't use lawful process unless and until it is voluntarily given to them. Okay. Now, let me see what's at the end of this book.
Chaplain, I know you've been on here a lot longer than you wanted to, so.
Let me go. I was trying to find the one. There is a paragraph that I'm trying to. Here we go. Let me read this. This is on page 10. The emergency can be terminated by the people if they restore lawful civil courts processes and procedures. and under the authority of inherent political powers, reestablish proper civil and de jure governments. Abatements are a primary tool in achieving a peaceful and a lawful restoration of godly authority to this nation. By now, you, the reader, can see why abatements are one of the most important tools the people have. If the people lawfully resist any submission to emergency powers courts. If the people lawfully resist any submission to emergency power courts, process, procedure, and the unlawful paperwork that are responded to by lawful process would be nullified ab initio nunc pro tunc. Now, what's it say? How do you end the emergency?
Restore the lawful civil courts, processes, and procedures.
If the people were to restore lawful process and procedure, how would they restore lawful authority in the courts? The answer is by reforming lawful jural societies and use the remedies provided essentially in the common law and due process of law. The court that you would use would be one called an assize court. Assize court, I'm not sure the correct pronunciation. Assize court, which is a trial by jury court. No judge.
Where
so you have to get to where you can have a lawfully established assize court. And then, when they dishonor the abatement, it's there. Now, what do you do if they dishonor the assize court? I think we need to figure out what it is in an international law. Somebody has got to hit the books.
I think I may have found the remedy to get rid of any perpetrator that would go against what they're supposed to do, and it's on the website called sovereignty international.info, and this guy Glenn files criminal complaints, his own created criminal complaint, and letting that de facto agent know that he's in violation of his oath of office, and he perjured his oath. And he notifies that agent's boss and tells him, you get rid of that rogue agent who violated my due process rights, or I'm going to, what, go ahead.
Brian?
Yes.
That can happen in their own courts now. When he violates his oath, okay?
Yes.
Now, he has permission to violate his oath if he's in the emergency power court. That was the license there granted.
Yeah, then I'm stumped.
What you have to do, our protection is with the sheriff and the notary and the coroner and the constable. The sheriff and the notary predated the Constitution, and they're our law officers. When someone dishonors the ruling of an assize court, it is the duty of the sheriff to enforce it. Okay? So, the workability aspect means we've got to get bigger and better. And we got to make sure we have our lawful courts, processes, and procedures in place.
Chaplain, I have one question.
Yes?
Are all courts, this emergency powers courts, every municipal, JP, county courts, all of them? Because you made a comment earlier about even the cities and counties don't understand all this.
Well, they're all subdivisions of the District of Columbia.
So all the courts are the emergency power courts then?
They're political subdivisions of the District of Columbia. And the counties are quickly buying into Obama's money and going in by contractors as quick as they can. I noticed Hayes County is getting all kinds of bennies. All the signs are turning green. All the road signs are turning green. Anyway, the point is to understand what it is you're doing. Okay. These first 10 pages are as important to you as the rest of the abatement. Now, there's no guarantee that when you get to the state, the county, and the city, that they're used to just being able to go any way they want. And it's through sin of omission. Now, our point is we ignorant, you know. We've worked recently with the word ignorant. And everybody assumes that that means you don't have knowledge. But the suffix A-N-T says that the word ignorant means one who ignores. You don't ignore something you don't know. You ignore something you do know. Don't be an ignorant. And the maxim is, ignorance of the law is gross negligence. So if someone ignores what they know in this area of honoring the proper courts of the people on the land, then they are in gross negligence. And gross negligence means they incur personal liability. That's the real mechanism that achieves the result. You could have a judge that ignores it. He's personally liable. He has a bond. Maybe you talk to his bonding agent. Any questions about this emergency power court? Now, one thought about it, so you understand the mechanism that is being used. Well, let's see. We had the bankruptcy, and then we had the World War II, then we had the Korea, and then we had Vietnam, and then we went to the war on poverty, then we went to the war on drugs, and then we went to the war in Afghanistan, or Iraq. When does the emergency end?
When the people end it.
This is an instance where you are dealing with, under the law, what is called shysters. They're using the law to extract money from you. unlawfully. So, it's, to me, the emergencies are intentional. It's the means of usurping the Constitution. Now, they got to keep it in place in order for this to all be lawful on the world scene. But remember, if the people were to restore a lawful process and procedure, how would they restore the lawful authority in the courts? The answer is by forming lawful jural societies. Now, everyone should use two things. Not only should you study what's in these first 10 pages, and the other thing that's in our course that we covered last week, but you must get the First Estate Compact and the First Estate Diagram. Texas is the only one that has one. We have done that paragraph as long as you recognize how much, what, how do I want to say this? The significance of those two diagrams and that First Estate Compact. After you've declared, after you've withdrawn yourself out of that District of Columbia with the status and domicile, you now set out working on putting your self-government together. And when you do, you're able to take away the need for the emergency powers courts. That's what we're about, folks. We're not about writing abatements. The abatement is a tool. But understand the process and what it's about. And how we're going to get off of this. How are you going to deal with it in their courts? Well, I can't tell you. They have this permit, this license to be unlawful. As long as they run and can apply the emergency power courts. Now, if we want to restore the lawful authority in courts, we have to do so by having a running and a functioning jural society, and that's not with members, but with participants. Sovereigns on the dire land pledging to come to the protection of sovereigns who are being trespassed against. Agreeing to be party of four different sub-body politics, jurors, electors, candidates, and militia. That's a functioning lawful juror society. It can have courts then. The jurors have promised to be part of four different kinds of juries, national, state, county, and then assize courts for the people themselves. That's in Texas. That's what we got. If we understand it and can keep it, I never know, you know, I wish I could somehow get some way of knowing if you're gathering this overall picture that I'm trying to paint here.
Anybody have any questions?
So, does the word emergency power courts surprise you now? Are you confused by it?
No.
What constitutional law do they have to obey?
None.
None.
They can't. Now, there is one one little thing. That where is this way up here at the top? The ignorance, not stupidity, makes people slaves to the courts. What is the constraint on the judges? What's that? Whether to not disturb the peace. Oh, I wish I could find it real quick. But somewhere in here, it makes a comment about the judges and how they're advised, you know, don't disturb the peace or
bring attention to them.
Yeah. You follow on. There is a way that they're advised, which is, gosh, there's not much you can't do, but don't disturb the peace. And don't bring this attention. So.
Yeah, I've heard it too. But it's just saying that the judge can do what he wants to as long as it doesn't bring attention to him and everybody finds out about it.
Judges make decisions to resolve the case under doctrines of necessity.
Yeah. I heard utterances from one national district court judge which supported that statement altogether.
Here it is. Special appearances fail when a judge knows what he is doing. Under martial rule, judges do whatever they want, whenever they want, so long as he does not alarm the public or disturb the peace.
That's it.
Well, I think the cat's out of the bag now.
What page is that on?
That's on page 7.
Okay.
Okay, Chaplain?
Yeah.
If they don't honor the abatement, do we bring this to the grand jury?
What do you mean if they don't honor the abatement?
If they ignore us.
They ignore you and come and arrest you anyway? And is that a case that we can bring to the grand jury?
It would be after you do the default.
Yeah, after you do the default.
They've got to ignore the default.
If they ignore the default, then yes, you would bring that to the trial by jury.
Okay, that's what I need to know.
Now, there's one thought which is sophisticated here. When they don't think we know, they always, under the doctrine of necessity, grant them a good faith error. So they're saying, oh, okay, it was a mistake. Well, take the document that they use to break the abatement, okay? Default.
Yes.
That's another set of papers.
Yes.
Abate it. That's another abatement for that piece of paper, and you do it the same way. Without dishonor. See, what they've done is, in effect, started you all over again.
Yes, your abatement will be just like, your default will look just like your abatement.
I don't know about that.
Whereas when you send it, that's...
I'm saying you're going to do a default, and you're going to do an abatement, and you're going to get a default judgment.
Yeah, the default judgment will... Okay.
Now you're going to get another piece of paper, meaning they dishonored it.
Yes.
Could be an arrest warrant. Abate it.
Okay.
All right. You abate the arrest warrant and wait the 30 days, get a default judgment. Now the good faith mistake error is gone. Now you have two violations, and you take that's two witnesses, and you take that to the trial by jury. It's not the grand jury.
Okay.
You're taking it to an outsized, you're taking it to court. A-S-S-I-Z-E, court. Trial by jury. Learn anything tonight?
Yes.
Now you're going to hear patriots spout off all sorts of things and give you all sorts of hints of what to do inside their courts. And they think they're dealing with a constitutional court, and it's an international law court run under the doctrine of necessity to solve an emergency. So they just got to keep the emergency going. All of those executive orders do a great job of doing that.
We need to let Chaplain off the call. So I know he's been great.
I'm gone. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chaplain.
Thank you, Chaplain.
All right, y'all. That's a lot of information, and we definitely need to read over this abatement common law procedure book here. And he had told me before this call to, he actually just wanted me to say a few words on what he thought about the first 11 pages and how he divided it up. But then he was gracious enough to get on here and go into further detail of this emergency power court. So we do have a lot to learn about all of this. Anybody want to start a subject or have a question right now? Maybe one of us can remember what he told us and be able to help the others.
Hey, Chuck. This is Renee. Yeah, what 11 pages of what booklet were you talking about? Was it something sent in the email?
Yes, it was. I'm going to have to send that to you, Renee. It'll come in 4 PDFs. It's
sent on March 5th because I did save
yes,
documentation of the payment before a couple weeks back. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, on March 5th.
Oh, okay, because it had, like, copies of what an abatement looks like and the diagrams and mark this and mark that. That's the one, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, and we were looking at some other stuff, too.
Chuck, is that Book of Hundreds?
No, the Book of Hundreds, that's not the one he's talking about. The one we've been using, that several of us have used, comes from that abatement, common law procedure.
Yeah.
Okay. Lynn says he's got it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one he used.
Hey, Chuck, why don't you just resend it again?
Okay. I'll do that.
I think you need to let everybody know about the Assize court we're going to attempt to do on Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, on Friday. I did ask for jurists, and I have gotten several replies, and also some people that just can't make it because of work or whatever. But it is a trial by jury, and that is the wording we are using now. If you might have noticed on Republic Keepers, it has been changed to trial by jury. We have we're trying to make this available for anybody and everybody to do an electronic trial by jury, and we call it ETBJ. But we're going to be using the Team Viewer, which you can download off their website, and allows for people to present documents, to draw on them, to show their face, to chat, and everything. But we can actually, since Texas is such a huge state, and for others that are on the land out there that might be beyond the borders of Texas, can use this also.
Wow.
But it's you have to be on the land, so it's the process there.
Chuck?
Yes.
I had one more question. Did I understand Chaplain Raymond correctly when he said to get rid of the emergency powers courts, the de jure would have to basically stand up and move that aside or rehabilitate or whatever? It's like the de jure would be the remedy for that?
Yes, you did. And that was on page 11, I believe, or page 10. Anybody remember?
Started at the bottom of page 10, I think, and then carried over to 11.
Page 10, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The emergency can be terminated by the people if they restore lawful civil courts, processes, and procedures, and under the authority of inherent political powers, reestablish proper civil and de jure government. Abatements are a primary tool in achieving a peaceful and lawful restoration of godly authority to this nation. By now, you, the reader, can see why abatements are one of the most important tools the people have. Okay. If the people lawfully resist any submission to emergency power courts, process, procedure, and the unlawful paperwork that are responded to by lawful process would be nullified, and the unlawful paperwork that are responded to by lawful process would be nullified. Ab initio, nunc pro tunc. So, and we've gone through and done this. That's what we've been doing these last 2 years, is trying to, might not have realized exactly what we were doing. In the example of my parents' issue with, or their issue, we went through this process. We established a lawful civil courts, processes, and procedures of doing this. We went through the abatement process. We went through the trial by jury, and it was nullified. So that's what we have to do, and that's what the issue is. This is our remedy. The abatement is just a tool in it.
Has the situation been resolved, Chuck?
We are sitting back here with nothing has happened. We have had more evidence to say to say that yes, it might have been resolved, but we're not jumping up and down yet, or not spreading, going crazy or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Cautiously optimistic, maybe, at this point.
That's a good term.
Yay. We'll take it.
Right, okay. No kidding.
A question.
Yes.
Where can I locate the documents that y'all putting out there? How can I get some of them?
If you want to send an email to contact@republickkeepers.org, I'll get those documents to you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. And anybody else that doesn't have them, just send an email to contact@republickkeepers.org, and I'll forward that on to you.
Well, we need to just grow them. That's what we need to do. We'll solve all the problems, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Anybody else have any questions or want to throw out any discussion over this?
Hey, Chuck. This is Rick.
Yes, sir.
I emailed you something. I wrote this before I got involved or participated with the Republic,
mm-hmm.
about the Constitution being suspended,
mm-hmm.
and including November 19th, 73, official report of the 93rd Congress, emergency powers status, Senate report number 93-549. And they confirm that the Constitution is suspended and we're under emergency powers. So anyway, there's just a little brief thing that I had written inside of another paper. So I cut this out and sent that to you so you'd have the numbers.
Okay. I see that USA Inc.
Yeah. That when I wrote the paper about unchained slave syndrome, this paper here was the basis for that.
Mm.
I just added a whole lot more to it. So I already had a lot of this stuff in it, but I never used this part of it in it. But this turns out to be more important than all the other stuff. Yeah, from what Chaplain was saying tonight.
Yeah, so the emergency started with the bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill, you got anything to say tonight?
Chuck.
Yes.
This is Matt. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Chuck, after what Chaplain covered, he covered a lot of territory, and I would like to recommend everybody to, if they really want to know some background on this stuff, is go through that Book of the Hundreds, because it goes through everything he covered. And you can read it over and over a couple times until it sinks in.
Yeah.
And besides those 11 pages, but that Book of Hundreds really explains a lot.
Yeah, it goes into detail. It's excellent information. The abatement is different than what Chasting. Do you understand the differences on the two abatements? Billy, there.
How many Billys are there here? I'm William or Billy.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, I was looking for Bill Chastain.
Oh, okay.
I don't see him on here anymore. Yeah, the abatement that they have in the Book of Hundreds is pretty long. There is a difference between that one and this one, this 30-page one that Chaplain was discussing tonight.
I want to bring up something about that too, Chuck.
Yeah.
Abatement 1 and 2 are pretty much in the format. They're similar formats.
Mm-hmm.
But abatement number 3 is totally different. And it's a little bit confusing when you take all three of those together. So the third PDF file that you sent us
mm-hmm.
is totally different than the first two. And I didn't see it covered in the common law procedure PDF.
It's the third one, was that the IRS one?
It looks like an IRS, yeah, I think it is, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't do all that mark my words or, you know, things like that. There are some,
Yeah.
I think that third one is the one that says to and from, and then it's got the abatement underneath it. It's not like the court defendant versus agent or whatever. You know, we've got two of them that you've got the court and superior court, and you've got the document that looks like a court document. The third one just says to someone from someone.
Okay, well, it's also titled an asseveration.
Yeah.
Rather than an abatement, so I don't know if it's the same.
It doesn't have a superior court starting out.
Say that again.
That it doesn't have the superior court right underneath the heading.
Okay, so it's not. It doesn't mention our superior court on the top.
Okay, so if it's different, there's a reason, and we, you know, might want to get into that.
Yeah. Lynn, you used the first one, is that right?
Yes, I've used the first one twice now. I'm in my second one.
Okay.
I just sent my second abatement out against the city, and both of them come off the 30 page. Number one, abatement number one.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Chuck, there's one.
Two and three are for the IRS. That says IRS.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
In the third to the fourth PDF file that you sent, the mm-hmm. abatement common law procedure, well, actually it's in the Book of the Hundreds. It talks about the foundation of the individual who's using the abatement. You know, we're under some requirements to be on the land, and Chaplain referred to that.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably need to talk about that too. Maybe next week we can talk about, okay, what is it, what standing, where do we have to be standing in order to use an abatement? Do we have to have a certain amount of paperwork in? What do we have to do? So we need to talk about those details, right?
Well, let's see. Have you not signed the Declaration and Compacts?
Yes, I have, but we haven't covered that was necessary or not.
Well, if you don't, you're considered to be a U.S. citizen. Your domicile, yes, is important. You need to be established on the land, which is exactly what these declarations and compacts do, and allows you to go through this process. Because you are now you're in a separate jurisdiction. So, yeah, we can discuss that. That's not a problem. But
okay, well, I was just for general discussion, since we're trying to figure out as the people
mm-hmm.
how to do abatements, we need to talk about these things. Now, you can tell me that I have to have a certain number of things in my domicile and things like that and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to discuss that so we all are walking on the same footing. That's what I meant.
Okay. Sounds good.
Does anybody know how long it takes to actually get your paperwork back once you submit it?
That's what I wanted to ask.
Paperwork as far as the declaration and stuff?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We've had a little glitch in that stuff. There's been some stuff going on as far as at the where we normally do the recording, but it really shouldn't take long at all for it to turn around. You'll get the originals back. And if you want a certified copy, you'll, of course, have to pay for the certified copy.
Mm-hmm.
But it shouldn't take long at all. And for those that have sent them in and have not received them back, then you just need to contact us, and we'll get our recording guy on the ball and throw this out to you as soon as possible.
Is it not considered to be in effect until you get it back, or?
No, it's in effect when you make the decision.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is just evidence.
Right.
And we don't keep the paperwork. We send those back mm-hmm. to you. Those are your papers. It's not
okay.
The government's papers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck, can we set a something to talk about next week, that one particular aspect of abatements as our subject matter?
Do you have a suggestion?
Well, yeah. What standing, you know, we've been hearing about all this stuff about domiciles and things like that, and also this straw man and all that, and Chaplain Raymond just threw that out
mm-hmm.
the window. So we need to
know
the
reason,
exactly where we need to be.
Sure. Yeah, we can do that. And I can tell you the reason he said don't use straw man is because that is a bad word. Whenever you bring it up in their courts and anything, even the word sovereign has become a bad word. That's why we use sovereign soul on the dry land, because soul is a specific description of a person. They use the word souls on board when they're loading planes. On the dry land means we're not in the water. This is not maritime. So when you talk about strawman, yes, that is a description that has been used for a long time to describe the differences. But it has become a bad term. So, but no, we can get Chaplain or the governor to come on here to explain that whole thing.
Chuck, as much as I appreciate the governor and the chaplain, the
mm-hmm.
governor wanted us to do this as the people.
Well, I understand that, yeah.
Okay, and we certainly appreciate it. We know they're busy.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could tackle it ourselves, that'd be great. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. All right.
There's some people on this call that know stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear them every once in a while, you know.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, Brian, you still there? He's gone too. Rick, I know you're there. Maybe we can get you to do that next week. He's not saying anything. Well, are there any other questions or y'all want to discuss anything before we hang up here?
This is Renee. I just was thinking how important it would be to educate our youth regarding all this, like the kids in junior high and high school. And I was just thinking, you know, good luck with trying to get that as part of the curriculum in the schools, but wouldn't it be cool if someone made a board game like Monopoly that compared de facto to common law, the du jour, and, you know, taught about these principles and ideas so that it would become a part of a young person's, you know, whole way of viewing the world. You know, and if it was just a harmless game, then, you know, what if, you know, it would just, the word would get out and the education piece would be out there, you know.
Well, we're having trouble educating us old people.
I know, I'm getting ahead of the game, but I was just thinking, what, you know, wouldn't it be cool if somebody would get a handle on how it worked, the mechanisms of the thing, and, you know, make it a really cool either video game or a board game or something so young people would get on board, because I think what we need to do to solve our problem is get everybody on the land, and how are we going to do that?
Nominate Renee. Everybody say aye.
Aye. Renee, this is Matt. You have an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old on the phone right now. Listening to this.
That's awesome.
That was great.
That's awesome.
Maybe they can help me to develop the board game.
Actually, Renee, we came up with that same idea. We just haven't known where to start.
Another thing, instead of hitting the public schools, get a hold of the homeschool co-ops. Put a program together and present it to the co-ops and teach the homeschoolers.
There you go.
It'd be easier to go through homeschoolers than public
right.
school right now.
Homeschoolers are a lot more open-minded, and they seek out truth.
There you go. That's a really great idea.
So do you want to bring your design back to us next week and show?
There's only one problem with that, Chuck, and I have to understand the whole process and the big picture, and I'm just taking notes right now, so I'm studying in kindergarten, so maybe if I'm smart as a fifth grade, I'll be able to make a board game out of it. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Chuck.
Mm-hmm. Might be easier to start off with bingo.
You could even use something like, you know, on the glass and have it be like, oh, nope, you're back in de facto. You have to hop up back on the glass. And, nope, you want to be on the land because that's where the, you know, that's where the blessing is. That's where the money is. That's where the freedom of movement is, you know.
Or like chutes and ladders.
Yeah.
No, do not pass go. Go directly to the glass.
Yeah, you just opened your mouth in court. Now you're back in the de facto system. Good luck, buddy.
That's right. You're
going to
be the next millionaire.
You're doing the maintenance, dummy.
Yeah, she's got a millionaire game board here going.
Y'all are going to help me develop it now, you know.
All right. Any other thoughts or questions or statements for tonight before we hang up?
Chuck, are you going to moderate the calls? I thought Cliff was going to do that.
He was going to do it, but Cliff has not showed up the last two times. He keeps on thinking it's on Wednesday, I think.
Okay, well, no, he keeps getting called out at the last minute.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Being the dog catcher, he's on 24-hour call. Yeah. I will step in if you want to teach me the board, whatever. I will step in his place and then, as I say, contact him later.
Well, does anybody else want to do it if Gina's not available or?
Well, anybody? This is Matt. I'd like to learn how. I don't know if I have the bandwidth to handle it though.
Okay. All right. It's just a matter of connecting via Skype or your phone, and then watching the board on your internet browser. So it's not that difficult.
then also, somebody had talked about changing this to Monday night at 8 o'clock.
We had considered that, but there were some conflicts there also. And we have a conflict on Tuesday nights, but right now they're not involved in that, so they're able to come to this meeting. And but the governor, well, I should say James, wants to be here, but he's got a call at this very time also. But
so for the time being, it'll be Tuesdays until...
Yeah, yeah. So we'll just stick with Tuesday at 8 o'clock for right now. But if you're interested, just contact me, or I'll get with Gina, and we'll get this set up for next week also.
That sounds good with me.
All right.
That sounds great.
All of y'all do the same. Let's close with a word of prayer. Would anybody like to say it?
I will. This is Katie.
Thanks, Katie.
Okay, sure. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness toward us, for the great love that you have for us, and for so loving the world that you sent Jesus Christ into it, and that whosoever believes on him should not perish but be saved. So I thank you for that, number one, and thank you for each individual that was on the call tonight. I ask you to bless them and continue to enlighten the eyes of our understanding as we look into your word, as well as look into law that ultimately comes from you. I ask you to bless Chaplain Raymond's wife, continue to heal her, Father, and for anybody else that needs to be delivered physically or in any other kind of legal entanglements, God, I ask you to work all that out for us. And until we come together again on Thursday, I ask you to watch over each one of us and continue to give us wisdom and help us to glorify you in all of our ways. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you very much for that
Amen.
Prayer.
All right,
thanks,
you're
Katie.
Welcome.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and turn the recording off.